Okay, we are picking up with the Gemara really at the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, but I figure it's a very short Amud. I think it's good to chazer, to go back to Ayin Hey Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom of the words of Tashma. We're going to restart the proof that we tried to bring. Again, we are wondering, Beshitas Rebbe Eliezer, we were wondering, does Rebbe Eliezer understand that the Hafara was Chal and then immediately removed, or was it never Chal at all? And what was the Nafkamina? Our Nafkamina was going to be, if someone was does hatfasa, if the woman says she was a nazira, and then the person says vani kamoa, so if it was never chal, so that this guy's never a nazir. However, if it's chal and removed, then we pointed out then that would be the nafkamina of the Gemara. Then it would be according to Rabbi Eliezer that would be a valid hatfasa, even though she is no longer a nazira, he would be able to be a nazir. Or if it's a woman also, and the second lady, whoever it is, who hears this woman say she was going to be a nazira, the nafkamina would be that she would be able to become a nazira. Just that would be the nafkamina. So the Gemara now is bringing a tashma, and again, six lines from the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Our learning, sorry, I forgot to mention, is once again sponsored, Leila Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov Neshama Shem Elias. And the Gemara says, tashma, we have a proof from the Braisa. Amru lo le Rabbi Eliezer, so the Chachamim, as a response to Rabbi Eliezer, said, Uma mikva shemales atmei metumasan. According to your argument, so then, that what should come out is that if a mikvah, which is able to remove those in their status of tuma tatara, the person who becomes tameh, he goes to the mikvah, he's tahor. So then, in matzilat tahor mel tameh, it would not protect those that are tahor from becoming tameh. As the Ran points out, that the Kal Vachomer is flawed because that you would have said yoser hayaroi lis batel mashalov chal yisur adayin mashakfar chal. The mikvah is going to be against that concept that if something is stronger, that obviously if I can uproot, again, Rabbi Lezer's whole Kal Vachomer is if I can uproot a neder, which is chal, so kol shekin I can uproot a neder, which is not chal. And they responded that mikvah would be a response to you. What is mikvah? It's metaris etmeim after they go to the status of tuma. Yet a mikvah is not going to be matzil on the tahorim of a person still holding a sheretz. If he's still holding a sheretz and even if the Torah person goes in and he touches a sheretz in the mikvah, he's going to become tameh. That's the way the Ran understands it. So again, ma mikvah shemales atmei metumasan ein matzel tahorim letameh. Someone who goes into a mikvah, who is totally tahor, just goes to the mikvah for extra tahor, whatever reason, goes to the mikvah and he's touching a sheretz in the mikvah. The halacha is that it would not be that such a person would become tameh, he would still become tameh. Adam she'ein malas atmeim mitumasim. But according to your reasoning, then a person who does not have the ability to remove a status of those who are tameh from their state of tuma, if a regular person, the Ran gives an example, if he swallows a ring that's tameh and then he throws up that ring, comes out. So lacha is it's going to remain tameh. So then you would have said a Kal Vachomer, then Eino Din, according to you, Eino Din, Shelo Yatzil Al Tahorim Al Tameh. So certainly he should not protect that those things that are Tahor from becoming Tameh. So it should follow that a person who swallows a Tahor ring, and while he swallows that Tahor ring, he goes into a house that's Tameh, that's Tumas Ohel. So he himself becomes Tameh, he's Tameh Shivas Yamin, because it's a Tumas Ohel, there's a dead body in the house, he becomes Tameh. What about the ring inside his body at the time? He doesn't throw it up there, he walks outside and then throws it up later. So the lach, and that ring was tahor. So the lach is, based on your Kal Vachomer, we should say Kal Vachomer, that it should not be able to protect him, and he should surely become tameh. Yet the lach is that a person who has a balua item, that it's tahor, and it's going to be balua, it's going to not become tameh. So the Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Lezer's whole Kal Vachomer. So he rejects the Kal Vachomer. So we see from over there that it's not able to, the idea of something which is removing tuma but incapable of protecting the tuma, whereas a person's body which is capable of protecting from tuma but yet it still cannot remove the tuma, so your whole Kal Vachomer is flawed. So where are we pointing out? That we also can't learn out, when the case of Hataras Nadarim, one's wife's Nadarim, that if you could tell me Kal Vachomer, you could remove a neder that's chal, obviously, they're going to respond to him that Kal Vachomer is fundamentally flawed. So the Gemara says, but what do we see from this whole Raya? We said, this is a nice back and forth, but Shmamina lo chaylin, we're bringing the sacred point to show us what we really see from Rabbi Eliezer's Kal Vachomer. That the whole Kal Vachomer is based on an assumption that the neder never takes effect. The whole idea that it never Torah was never chal, and that's why they're bringing a case of a mikvah to refute it. From the fact that the Rabbanan responded and refuted Rabbi Elazar's kal v'chomer by using the argument that a person's body is preventing a tar ring from able of becoming to come tame in the first place, whereas a mikvah does not prevent such a thing, the idea was clear for Shitas Rabbi Elazar. He meant to understand that the husband's removing of the neder is preventing the neder from ever being chal. It was never got off the ground in the first place. That is the raya against the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. So now we're back to Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Ema Seifa. But let us consider the next part of the Braisa. The next part of the Braisa says, Amru lo le Rabbi Eliezer. They said back to Rabbi Eliezer, Im matbilin kli tame lehitar. But according to your argument, that if a person can immerse in a mikvah, a tame utensil in a mikvah, and make it tahor, so then according to you, yatbilu kli lechashe yitame lehitar. That you should be able to also immerse a kli that you're afraid will become tame later. So say, oh, I'm going to put it in the mikvah right now. It's obviously ridiculous. Put it in the mikvah right now. And if it becomes tame later, that's not a problem because I put it in the mikvah right now. That obviously is not your valid argument. So what do we see from over here? According to this, that your whole line of reasoning, that the idea of the mikvah is removing the tumah from a kli that is already contracted tumah, it should follow that kal v'chomer should come through. So the Gemara says, though, Shema mina chaylin. We can see from over here, though, that the opposite diyuk, that Rabbi Elazar seems to indicate from this kal v'chomer, that when a husband is removing the neder of his wife, you could do it before she even makes the neder, that they would take effect and they're removed only afterwards. How do we see that? The Ran points out, because we see that the Chachamim are arguing on Rabbi Elazar that from the idea, what the very idea of immersing a kli, which is tahor, in a mikvah, should likewise be effective so that when it will come tame, it should become tahor. What do we see? That it was going to come tame and then immediately become tahor. So we see that it was chal and then removed. So that's what the idea that we see. Same thing why the neder is going to be chal for a split second and then removed. The neder was bichal. So we see over here that you can't bring a raya. Amrei, so the Talmidim in the yeshiva, they said, Rabbanan lo kai meluun b'taim ed Rabbi Elazar. No proof can be brought from this brisa because we have opposite dukim in Rabbi Elazar. V'achik amrelei. So not only that, this is what they were seem to be saying. L'chora, meaning you're right. There's two different diukim in the braisa itself. So how do they understand Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara points out maybe this is exactly what they're masupak. Mis viralach. What do you hold when regards to you say that a husband is able to be matir to be made for the nadarm of the future nadarm of his wife? Is viralach the chayin of a talin. If you're going to assume that they take effect and then they're removed, so then we'll ask you a kasha from the seifa of this braisa to have a kli tiyufta, the case of a utensil, which a utensil you're going to say that can remove the potential when it becomes tame to be tahor immediately. The case of a kli, which obviously you would agree is a ridiculous kal v'chomer. We're not going to say that halacha. So therefore, the halacha should be against what you say. Now, and they weren't sure, and they said the second side also, ilos v'lach t'chaylin, and if you hold that the neder never kicked in the first place, then we'll ask you a kasha from the reisha, which was tavi mikvah t'yuvtach, that a person who goes into a mikvah, who's tashing a sheretz, who becomes tameh, so it should come out that a person who's not able to prevent a tumah, if he swallows the ring, then kol shekein, it should become tameh, and according to your kal v'chomer, logic would dictate it should become a tameh, and it doesn't, so therefore we've one of shacha, ever you understand Rabbi Elazar, meaning they themselves weren't sure. So this braisa is showing us no proof for Shita Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try to bring another raya. Tashma. So those proofs didn't work so far. Let's bring another raya from the braisa. Amar lahem Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar says to the Chachamim, Umaz ra'im t'meyim. Now when it comes to planting, if someone is planting a seed, let's say that's edible, like a bean or something like that. So it's edible. So they became tame, and now you're planting them. Kevan shizaran bekarka tahorin. The lacha is that we learn it out from its exeris akasiv, that if they became tame and is later planted in the ground, it becomes tahar. Because we learn it out from the pasuk says, v'chi yipol minivlasam kol zera zerua asher yizareya tahar hu. That if a dead body comes on a dead animal, their sheretz falls on them, will fall upon the seeds of planting, that will be planted, it's tahor. So what are we learning out? Asher yizareya, that will be planted. We learn out that the Gzeres HaKasim tells us that if this sheretz fell on a seed and made it tameh, if the seed was later planted in, the halacha is, it's going to become tahor. That's what the Gemara is saying right now. So the Gemara says, Zruin ve'omdim lo kol sheken. So then, shouldn't we say that it's certain that the case of those that are already planted that are tahor, even if they come in contact with tumah. meaning you are going to agree with us, the halacha, that plants which are still rooted in the ground are obviously going to not be subject to tumah, because that's mechubar lekarka. But the only halacha for this is the kal v'chomer that we just mentioned. The pasuk itself is talking about replanting it. So the kal v'chomer is the only kal v'chomer, is the only way you know that replanting it should become tahor. So similar, so we see over there that you should learn my kal v'chomer as well, that when it comes to the case of nedarim, the kal v'chomer, that he should be able to be made for such a neder. So the Gemara says, shma mina lo chaylin. We're able to learn from this statement of Rabbi Elazar that we learned the kal v'chomer from the idea of planting seeds, that when the husband is removing the neder, the wife with his neder, they do not take the effect altogether. How do I know that? Because in the case of planting the seeds, the kal v'chomer is teaching us that they had already attached plants, that things that are mechubar karpa, karka, do not contract tumah to begin with, because if they would, then even while attached, then what does it mean? Then how are they being removed? Meaning it never got off the ground that they should become tameh. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar is comparing the idea of the kal v'chomer regards to the removing of the kal v'chomer regarding the plants to the tumah. So he's obviously understanding that the plants never became tameh in the case where they're mechubar l'karka. Since they remained mechubar l'karka, that case when they remained part of the ground, they never became tameh, and that was the whole kal v'chomer was based on that aspect. So then, similarly, when it comes to Nadarim, he would also understand that they would never become tameh in the first place. So the Gemara asks, "So Rabbanan lo darsha kal v'chomer? The Rabbanan do not learn the kal v'chomer similar to that of the Shita of Rabbi Lezer with regards to this v'atani? We learn in a brisa, yochal yimkar adam esbito kshinara. Similar line of thought of the kal v'chomer. So this seems to be accepted. That was a good raya for Rabbi Lezer. Maybe they were never chal. But the Gemara is now just asking. Rabbi Lezer has a good line of reasoning. That if something which is never chal is going to be able to be removed, then kol shekein wasn't even chal yet, you could say kal v'chomer, you should be able to remove it. So where do we see this line of reasoning with regards to the idea of a person selling his daughter? When he sells his daughter to be an ama avriya, she becomes a slave, an ama avriya. So the halacha is yachol adam yidkar bizok shinara. I would have thought that a person is able to sell his daughter as an ama avriya when she is a nara. The Torah gives the right to the father to sell his daughter. So I would have thought that only when she's a ktana. The Gemara is saying I would have a hava mina when she's a nara from the age of 12 to 12 and a half also. So says the Gemara, we have a kal v'chomer to reject this. Kal v'chomer. Mechura kvar yotza. The halacha is a daughter who is sold before a ktana when she becomes a nara, when she becomes 12 years old, she becomes a bas mitzvah, so then she goes out from her status of being an ama vriya, she becomes free. So that's what we learn out. So the halacha then, so the halacha shouldn't be kal v'chomer, eina mechuro, eina din shaloti macher. So when we say a kal v'chomer, that's someone who wasn't sold yet, and now you want to sell her above the age of 12. A kal v'chomer tells you that the father doesn't have the ability to sell his daughter as an ama vriya in such a case. So what do we see? The Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Lezer's logic that something which has the power to be able to be chal, and then you remove it, and then you want to bring a proof that, so the other way around also, that would surely prevent that state from coming in, is the exact reasoning of Shitas Rabbi Elazar. So why don't we apply to Shitas Rabbi Elazar when it comes to the lacha of Nedarim as well? That's the kasha of the Gemara. The Rana has a very strong kasha over here. The Gemara asks, why is the Gemara necessary to bring this braisa to show that Rabbanan agree with Shitas Rabbi Elazar? Why don't we bring this case from the lacha of the idea of the seeds not contacting any tumah? The idea of the Zerayim, that they're not becoming Tameh, Lechora, according to the Chachamim, they're agreeing with the Kal v'chomer. The Kal v'chomer was based on the concept that Mechubar Lekarka is not going to be Chal. So the Ran answers the Gemara over there was understanding that maybe the Chachamim really don't learn that Kal v'chomer. They don't agree with that. They learn it from the Pasuk itself. They don't learn it from the Kal v'chomer. And that's the simple reading of the Pasuk was that a plant that is still attached to the ground is never Tameh. We don't learn it from a Kal v'chomer. And therefore the Gemara is saying that since it's not so clear how they learned it over there, they may not have accepted the Kal v'chomer we're asking from over here, where they clearly did learn the Kal v'chomer in the logic of Shitas Rabbi Elazar. In such a case, the Gemara was asking the Kasha that we should assume that we would hold like Rabbi Elazar. So why do they disagree? So the Gemara says, you're right. In Be'alma Darsha Kal v'chomer. In general, Rabbi Elazar does have a very good Kal v'chomer, which we maybe should agree to. However, this case is fundamentally different. V'shayni hacha damar kra, the pasuk, we generally learn the Kal v'chomer. The Torah, we have exeris akasuf over here to not learn the Kal v'chomer. What does the pasuk say? That the husband is able to confirm her neder, and he's able to remove her neder. The fact that we have a hekesh, that they're juxtaposed to one another, tells us that a neder that can be confirmed is able to be removed. That which cannot be confirmed cannot be removed. So we learn from over here, because there's the Xeris HaKasuv, that is why we reject the Shita Rabbi Elazar, but really we would fundamentally agree with the Chachamim. So the Ran asks another strong kasha over here. I always like to, or Rav Shechter always quoted, whenever we quoted the Gemara in Durham, so Rav Shechter always used to quote that Rav Soloveitchik used to say that when it comes to Nedarim, he feels like his job, he's like stealing Kilach, but he's saying that his job is useless. The Ran is the Rosh Hashiva. He's asking the Kashis, he's asking the Terutzim, he's having the Lamdos, he has the Chakiras. So the Ran really does ask a lot of strong Kashis over here. So the Ran over here, again, he's asking for Ponea because we're doing a lot of Kashis of the Ran. The Ran asks over here that if the Gemara is assuming that the Rabbanan agree with the Kal v'chomer of Rebbe Lezer and they only are disagreeing with regards to the Hekesh, so why would Bichal bring the case of a mikvah to argue on the Kal v'chomer? Just wait till we bring out this over here that the Gemara is presenting the conclusion that we learn out the Hekesh. Why are we bringing from the case of mikvah to uproot the Shita of Rebbe Lezer when they fundamentally agree with the Kal v'chomer? So it's a very strong Kasha. So the Ran answers that maybe when it comes to the case over here, that we're showing that when we bring the case of the mikvah, we're showing that the Kal v'chomer is not a blanket Kal v'chomer, that we can bring different gzeiros hakasos to show that the Kal v'chomer doesn't exist in all places. And that's what we're bringing the case of mikvah for. That really, that there are some cases where we show that the gzeiros hakasos will uproot what the logic would have dictated through the Kal v'chomer. And that's why we bring out the case of mikvah. That might be another example where it's not a blanket Kal v'chomer, because really we're saying now that you agree with the Kal v'chomer. You're right, we agree. But that case also might be an exception to the rule based on that gzeiros hakasos, that the idea of mikvah could be when it comes to, we learn out the, because the Ran points out that we learn out from the Ach Bor Mikvah Mayim, that we learn out from that Gzeiros HaKasuv that show that the case is someone who's Tovah v'sharetz biyado, or if he's Tovah and he goes into a mikvah and there's a sharetz there and he was Tahor, he becomes Tamei. That itself is the proof against the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer in that very example. So that's a very nice answer for the Ran, that would be it's not a blanket Kal v'chomer. They do agree with the principle, but whenever there's a Gzeiros HaKasuv, we would reject such a Kal v'chomer. Very nice. Now the next mission tells us Afaras Tadarim Kol Ayom, that you're able to be made for a neder the entire day, in which the neder was in the case of a ketana, let's say, by the father, in the case of a nesua by her husband, you have the entire day. Biyom Shamo. That you're able to, so we're understanding that you have the calendaric day, which we know, vayera vayiboker, the night is the beginning of the day in the halacha. So really, if you're by it by nighttime, you have that entire night, and the next morning to be made for such a neder. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah continues, Yesh bedavar lahakel ulahachmir. This can be sometimes a kula, it could be a leniency, or sometimes a chumra, it could be a stringency. It's going to depend on the case. So this is very interesting, this lashon, that it could be a kula or a chumra, because we're going to see this is really coming to lafuki other tanaim, to exclude other tanaim who agree that it's the entire 24-hour period, not the calendaric day, but you have 24 hours from when you hear it, no matter what. So this can never be a kula, meaning it's going to be a kula within the day itself, correct? If you hear about it by nighttime, we're going to see you have like almost entire 24 hours. If you hear about it in the morning, you'll have 12 hours, whatever the day is, however much time is left in that day, that's the case of the kula chumra. But in terms of, in comparison to the other shita, which is not even quoted in the Mishnah, but it's going to be quoted in the Braisa, so that shita understands it's a full 24 hours, l'chora, this is a very problematic lashon, it has the kula or chumra. So the chumra explained, no, we're not donning that other shita, we're just coming to explain within the hour, the idea that it can be, it's all based on the calendaric day, that has a chumra and a kula, as we're about to mention in the Mishnah. What's that? Ketzad. Nadra belila Shabbos. If she made a neder on Friday night. Now, who at Din, the Ram points out, this doesn't have to be Dafka Friday night, but the Mishnah wants to teach you incidentally, the Gemara is going to be like this, that we want to teach you incidentally another halacha, that you're allowed to be made for a neder on Shabbos, even though it has no relevance to Shabbos. I would have thought maybe Dibra Davar or whatever, the Gemara is going to handle this, that maybe I would have thought that it's not Shayach to be made for a neder. She made a neder, it has nothing to do with Shabbos. So if she makes a neder, she's going to do something on Tuesday. And the husband hears about it on Shabbos, maybe I would have thought that you're not allowed to do that. No, that Mishnah is telling you are allowed to be made for such a neder. Yefer b'leila Shabbos v'yom haShabbos at teshtachshach. He's able to revoke such a neder during that Friday night and the entire Shabbos day until it gets dark out. So until it gets dark out, he has that entire period. And again, the same thing if it's the same thing on a Tuesday night. If she does it on a Tuesday night, then you have that entire Tuesday night until Wednesday nighttime. Nadra im chashecha, if she made the right before when it got dark on Shabbos day or any other day, right before it becomes dark, mefer ad shelo techshach, he can revoke the neder while it is not yet dark. It can even be a few moments. In moments, those few moments you'll have that's going to be lechumra, they only have that short period of time. She'im chashicha velo hefer, because if it comes dark and he has not removed such a neder, eino yachal hefer, at that point it's already not biyum shamo, he no longer is able to do hafaras nedarim. That's what we see from over here. Rabbi Kivegar Zagashmak has a question that he's wondering, and he goes back and forth about the tzadim. What about if she's no there, ben ashmashos? So, ben ashmashos we know is like safek yom, safek laila. So, let's say ben ashmashos we assume is 13 minutes. Let's say it's a shloshar ve'esha, erech, whatever. So, So we're assuming up a meal. A meal is pashas 18 minutes. So let's assume it's a 13 minute. It's 13 minutes is the time from shkia till tzeis. That really is a shaila how that works. Bizman, as I'm not getting into all those manim. So really, every minute of those 13 minutes, shkia is at whatever it is. In Eretz Yisrael right now, it's berech around 4:55. So 4:55 till 5:08 is all a suffik period. It's suffik yom, suffik laila. Maybe it was really part of the previous day, and maybe it's really already nighttime. So lechumra we're machmir in all shitas. We assume it right. You can't say kriyat shema. If you say kriyat shema, you'd have to repeat it because maybe you weren't yotzer mitzvah deraisa. All dinim deraisa were machmiran by bein hashmashos. So in Hilchos Shabbos you have to be machmir. Right, all these things you have to be machmir during that time period because we're not sure is it day or is it part of the next night. We're machmir both ends of this shaila. Right, on Shabbos on Friday night you obviously can't do malacha the moment shkia kicks in. Really, we start lighting before that, but we try to do so the moment shkia kicks in until that, because we're afraid maybe already it's Shabbos, and then on Motzei Shabbos we're assuming, oh no, maybe it's really part of Shabbos day still, and you keep it till later. Why we're more machmir about the zmanim? Because we don't see the Shalosh Kochavim really in Metzias. You look out, you don't see the three stars. So that's why we're made till much longer. In America, usually they assume it's 45 minutes, or Israel a little bit quicker. It's 30 minutes on Motzei Shabbos, 35 minutes. Usually the Luach is around 30, 35 minutes. That's how we're machmir, to assume that that's when Seis is. But let's just assume Eker din the Gemara right now. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is wondering the following question. He says, but if she was no deris, let's say in our example where 4:55 is shkia, so 4:57 she's no der, and the husband hears about it at 4:58. Maybe 4:57 is part of the previous day, and now 4:58, when he hears about it, is already part of the next day, and he's not able to be made for such a neder. A fascinating question that he deals with. He says, no, maybe you could say a sfeik sfeika. Maybe, really, it's still considered 4:57 was really part of the next day, it was really the next night, and then even if you want to assume that really it wasn't, it was the same day, maybe 4:58, his time is also part of the previous day. So he handles this and he goes back and forth. I thought it was a very interesting question in Lamdas that he goes back and forth about this. When the husband hears about it exactly during the twilight period, during those 13 minutes, what would be the halacha? Okay, so that was the halachos of here, but the point is, clearly though, if she was noderis, even let's say at 4:50, 5 minutes before the shkia, then clearly at 5:08 when it's seis hakochavim, that's pashut, according to the Kulei Alma, he no longer is able to be made for the neder, he only had a few minutes to be made for such a neder. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, hafaras adarim kol hayom, that you're allowed to do it the entire day. Meaning this sheet is understanding, they have the entire calendar day, so that's what you have. However, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Amru, so now we see Shita Tanayim that disagrees. They understand Me'es L'es. You have the 24-hour period from the moment you hear about it until 24 hours later. So it doesn't matter what the calendaric day was. You can be Mekel to assume up in 24 hours. So Gemara says, my time at the Tanakama. What's the reason the Tanakama says that we go by the calendaric day? Amar Kra, B'yom Shamo. The Chazak says, B'yom Shamo. And the day of the hearing understands the calendaric day, which you hear about it. B'yom, Yom Nehalachik Yom, V'Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan, the Tanakam is Amar Gam Yom Shamo. So the Gemara explains, Rabbanan and the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yossi, so we're referring to, here it got confused for a second, Rabbanan is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who understand that you have a full 24 hours, what do they do? My time, I know, what's their reasoning? Dichsiv mi yom el yom. The Pasuk says, from day to day indicates a full 24-hour period from the start of the day until the end of the next one, from the start of the day until 24 hours later, at the very same point of that day. So therefore, Miyom Miyom teaches you have 24 hours. So Gemara is going to say, what does each one do with the other drusha? That's a very good point. Ulatanakama, but according to the Tanakama, Haksiv Miyom Miyom. So the Pasuk says, from day to day, which implies that he's able to remove the neder for a full 24 hours then. How can the Tanakama understand that you're able to do it for the calendaric day? What does he do with this Pasuk? So he says, Itzrach, no, he needs this for a different halacha. Whenever you need the drusha for a different halacha, then you don't learn the other person's drusha, so they need it for a different drusha. What? Di biyom shama, because had the Pasuk only says biyom shama, havimina biyamama in belelio, I would have thought that it's only by daytime and not by nighttime. So therefore we have to say miyom el yom, which teaches you from day to day, which indicates the entire period can be part of your day to be made for the neder, meaning the entire nighttime and the next day, like on Tuesday night, you have the entire Tuesday night and Wednesday to be made for the neder. I wouldn't have known that if you didn't say miyom el yom. So miyom el yom was necessary to teach me that you could be made for an adarim at nighttime. So now according to the shita of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, and those two shitas, so those two Tanaim, they learn Miyom Mayom, so Haksiv Biyom Shamo. But what do they do with the drasha that says Biyom Shamo, the day that you hear about it, which implies only the calendaric day? So the Gemara says, Itzrich, there is also necessary to teach me a different halacha, that what? Diksiv Miyom Mayom, because if it only told me Yom Yom, Hava Amina, Mechad Meshavas, Lechad Shavas, Yifrlai, what is it, Yom Yom? Is let's say you're holding on Monday. So I would have thought 7 days later is still Monday, the next calendaric day of Monday, meaning you have an entire week to be made for such a neder. That's what my Havamina would have been. So therefore, Ksiv Biyom Shamo. Therefore, it's telling me the day that you hear about it to teach us that he can remove the neder only on that very day. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, how do you paskin? Rabbi Shimon, Pazim, Rabbi Shub, and Levi, ain't halacha kosan azug. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't follow those two tanaim. We follow, like the Tanakama, that you have the calendaric day. Levi, Sarvar Lamavad Kane tonight. Levi wants to paskin like the tanaim who say that you have a full 24 hours. Amar Le Rav, Hachi Amar Chavivi. This is what my uncle Rabbi Chia told me. Rabbi Chia told me, ain't halacha kosan azug. We don't paskin like them. You have to be machmer to assume it's the calendaric day. Okay, now the Ran points out that this next two lines of the Gemara seemingly are not really relevant at all to the halachas of Hafara between a father or a husband. It's a different halacha in Gansin. It's talking about the halachas of Ataras Nadarim over here. So why are we bringing it up? So the Ran suggests maybe we're bringing it up because we just mentioned something by Rav. So we're mentioning another thing which Rav's son, Chia, would do. That's just Agav. So the Gemara points out, Chia bar Rav, Chia the son of Rav, Shade Giri Ubadik. He was shooting arrows at the time where he was examining a person to see if the person wants to be matir or neder. As we remember earlier, we had a big machlokas about the idea of charata. Is charata enough? Is that enough of a basis to be able to be matir or neder? If charata is enough, then you don't need, then you would need a pesach. If it is enough, then you don't need a pesach. So our Gemara's understanding that Chia bar Rav, he was shooting arrows when the matir would come before him to ask him to be matir the neder, because he was understanding that charata was enough. And therefore, he doesn't have to work hard to figure out a Pesach, to sit and start figuring out a Pesach, an opening to be matir the neder. Even just the fact that he regrets the neder is enough of a reason to be matir neder. So therefore, he was shooting arrows to show us that he didn't have to be machmir to really sit on the case. However, Rabba bar Ravuna Yasiv Ekayim, he was of the opinion that charata alone is not enough to be able to be matir neder. So therefore, he would have to consider different reasons, a Pesach, to be able, an opening, to be able to find himself to really concentrate and be able to be matir the neder. That's how the Ran understands the whole sugya of here. So just wondering, a very pashut question. So granted, Chia bar Rav understood charata is enough. Well, why was he shooting arrows? Like, what does shooting arrows have anything to do? So then I remember Davor, this is Gishmak, I saw this brought down, forgot who brings it down, makes it tushtel, but there's an idea, the Mamish, I love when the Dafyomi is like, the Hashkacha Prat is in Dafyomi, here you have it. That in the previous pasuk we had that Yaakov Avinu promises, in Parshas Vayechi, promises, Yosef Shechem Echad Achicha, that he got from the Amori, Bekashti, which Unkelus translates as, Betzlosi Ubebausi. That with my bow and arrow, he's translating, sorry, Becharbe Kashti seemingly means bow and arrow. Uncle is translated as his davening. That Yaakov Avinu was davening. So the Belzerov, I think it was Rabbi Levin Bells, he asked the question, what does davening have to do with the bow and arrow? So he explained very beautifully that davening, why is it davening like compared to a bow and arrow? Because just like the bow and arrow, it's all about the placement of how you set up the bow in order to get a bullseye, to get a correct shot is all about how you prepare it and how you make it ready to be able to shoot it. That's the Ikar Avoda of, not Ikar, but they're obviously both necessary. You have to obviously have to shoot it right also, but you have to prepare it also. It's almost equally as important as the shooting itself. And he explains that's what davening is all about. Davening is all about, that's why it's called davening. That's why it's called the kashti, the lesson of the pasuk, becharbi vekashti, is because davening is teaching this yisod about davening. It's all about the preparation. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know and prepare yourself for the davening. The ikar avod of davening is not just the davening itself. You can't just wake up and 2 minutes later pop into shacharis. It's not going to be the same davening. You have to prepare yourself for whatever, 20, 30 minutes, or shalom zalman, or it's like, wait, it's kedai to be up at least a half hour before you're going to even start davening. To get yourself in the mindset for davening takes time. It's not a 3 second thing. So anyway, so Yaakovina was teaching us this lesson. So how does it explain over here? So I wish I remembered which one. I saw a beautiful idea. It compares it to our Gemara also. Why was he Dafka? The lashon of the Giri Abadik with the bow and arrows was the same remez that Unkelus is telling us. It really was davening. He was preparing for davening. This was the time that he was preparing for davening. So why did the person come to be able to be matir the neder specifically before Chia bar Rav was coming to daven? Because davening is the whole idea of tshuva. Person who makes a neder, specifically a person who's not keeping, not careful and scrupulous in his nadarim, it's a very big avera. We don't have the best things to say about someone who makes a neder, even if you're keeping it. So Kolsing, the guy here who regrets it and he wants to be matir the neder. So he said, what better time to come when a person is preparing for the ultimate avoda of davening, to do tshuva, to ask him to be able to understand my regret and my tshuva, and I want to regret my neder and to make it as if it was never chal, and to have Hashem forgive me. That's the best time to see Chia bar Rav, that he's in that state of mind, that framework. That's why I want to come to him. Very beautiful remez. That's the idea of the bow and arrow. arrows was the shooting the arrows, that Dafka he was shooting the arrows means he was before davening. And Dafka before davening, he wanted to competition him for a Torah Nedarim. Okay, very nice. So anyway, that was the Machlokas, and get back to Pashup Shad right now, and that was a nice Cheshire Torah. But Chia Bar Rav held Charat is good enough, and Rabba Rav Huna held that it's not. Rush disagrees, but we're going to go with the Shita of the Ran. Okay, Mirza Hashem, we'll pick up with tomorrow with the Shita of the Gemara, and Ayin Zayin, Tanan Hasam.